America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Brandy, can you hear me?
Good day, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, how are we doing, folks? God bless you out there in Radio Land. This is Steve Taylor, Last Days News, and you're listening on WPMH 100.1, The Lighthouse, and this is, again, our broadcast from our Chesapeake office. This is May the 26th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. We're talking about Last Days News. So let's just get this straight, Freddie. What time do you have right now? I have 12:32.
I have 12:31:30.
You have what?
It is 12:31:38, according to the station clock.
Okay, so there's no way that if it says 12:32, that if at 1:29 we're going to do the closing out, whatever you call that.
Yes, sir.
And then so at 1:29, folks, that we're going to be ending the show. So we have just under an hour of radio broadcast to uncover some of the works of the globalist system as they try to implement the Great Reset. And there's lots of stuff going on, of course. They're doing a pretty good job, as far as we can tell. And unfortunately, that most of America is still not awake, despite the fact that it's been 2 years of, well, more than 2 years, but since they've set the train out of the station, as one of the globalists said not too long ago. This is a show sponsored by the Alliance Legal Group, of which I am the CEO and lead litigation attorney. We've been doing this for almost 30 years. I've been doing this for more than 30 years, I guess, 1990. But that we as law practice have been doing this since 1995. We're one of the premier, largest bankruptcy filing law practices. I do say so myself. It's just a matter of fact. It's about 16 to 20% every month of the, sometimes higher, bankruptcies filed in the Southampton Roads area. That we get to file on behalf of folks that need help. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and that they are our clients, and we want to help them. You know, I'm looking at my screen right now. I see this apps. It says "Stop Russian Aggression." You know, blue and yellow. That I just see that on my screen because it's the mind control that's out there, just mind bending. You know, that everywhere you look, that they try to conform your brain to think the way that these globalists want to think. So you'll see blue and yellow everywhere. Sorry to digress, but it's just amazing. It's everywhere. And so back to the paying the bills, that if you have a bankruptcy, if you have a domestic or civil or traffic or criminal or whatever the matter is, you come and see us. We're a Christ-based law practice emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve you. And so we want to support what the Lord's doing in your life, and we want to help you. And the best we know how to do is just give it to Jesus. And again, that do expect us to pray with you, at least me. I'm going to pray with you every time I see with you. If I don't, then please remind me that I didn't, because you know that prayer is powerful and it's effective. And it also helps us get to the right place where we need to be before we enter into whatever we're going to do. So pray without ceasing. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Always do that. Pray. In fact, before we start this telecast, this broadcast, it's a telecast too, but that we're trying to get somebody out there to help us do a better job on getting our podcast platforms set up on Rumble and the different sort of podcast platforms. Before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's do that now. Father, you're a great and wonderful God, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. And we now pray, Lord, for each person that's listening, that you would bless them, that you would anoint the words that comes out of this speaker's mouth, that they would not be mine but yours. And God, that you would do something fantastic in these people's lives, God, that you would stir faith, and Lord, that you would bring to pass those things that would be favorable to those that are listening. And so, Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Freddie, I got my faithful friend, and I don't know, I guess host of sorts, certainly doing a great job there at the broadcast booth there in Chesapeake. Freddie, do we have Tony on the air?
We do. Tony is on the air. There he is.
Pastor Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm trying to get in on the link also as you go, but I'm on the phone now. So.
Well, there's probably forces fighting against you right now, so that doesn't happen. But then, I guess we're at least talking to you. And then where are we speaking to you from? From Prescott, maybe?
I'm in Prescott right now. Yep.
That's good. And again, we just give a shout out to all those that are listening maybe for the first time. If you want to get a hold of us, you want to call in, we'd like you to do that. I believe the number is 488-5299. Is that what it is, Freddie?
Yes, the phone number is 757-488-5299. If you would like to call in, you may.
Okay, just because I couldn't hear it completely, but it's 757-488-5299. And we'll take your live phone call, and then you can share in some of the topics as we go through those. So, big news today. What's the big news? I guess you got to talk about the shooting in Texas, right? I guess that's the big news. I think everybody would kind of have a consensus.
Yeah, that would be the big thing, covering everything.
Tony, is that what you think the big news is, maybe?
What?
Hello?
Yeah, that's the big news. And I'm not-
Earth to Tony. I guess we lost Tony. I don't know where he went.
No, he's on he's
sure
going to be live.
The shooting in Texas. Now, I really don't know much about what happened, you know, the dynamics on the ground as far as what's happened on the ground. And the first time that I said something like, you know, it's interesting that the shooting happened on the same week that WHA and WHO and, you know, WEF, they were all meeting. And, you know, I said, you know, it sure is interesting that a lot of airtime is going to go towards these shootings. And I wonder if there's anything connected to the fact that they were going on and the like a diversion sort of thing. I'm telling you, I got so much stuff from so many people. I couldn't even say the words. You know, it's like you didn't, you know, whether or not there's anything going on or not, the amount of backlash from folks that want to believe whatever is being pumped out and don't want to look at the possibility that there could be a diversion. I mean, these guys haven't told us anything truthful in a long, long time, and they try to divert us at every turn and corner. It's a reasonable thought that there might be something going on to divert us from, you know, this big press and this bad press these world organizations are getting. What do you say to that, Tony? I guess two things. One, do you know anything about it? But two, the attitude that people have as far as sometimes Christian folks. You know, don't talk about, you know, conspiracy happening in Texas because this guy must have just been a unhinged, well, we know he's unhinged, person that basically did something completely unrelated with no cause and effect basis with anybody other than himself. So I guess people's impression and also anything that you know about the Texas school shooting. Tony.
Can you hear me okay?
Can't hear you, Tony. You have no sound.
Okay, I can hear Tony.
While Tony tries to get audio. You say something when you get a chance, Tony. We'll tell you whether we can hear you. We can't hear you.
Hey, Steve, I can hear Tony, so maybe there's a connection with you also. Tony, why don't you just call back in?
Go ahead, Tony. Now, that might have been me.
Okay. Well, I would say that the unique thing is it's a tragic thing that happened, but look at the results of what happened. You've got the governor trying to do a conference and comfort people, and you got Beto O'Rourke showing up and screaming at the governor about gun control in the most tragic time. Guns don't shoot people. People shoot people. If guns aren't available, they're going to use a car. They're going to use a bomb. They're going to use whatever means they want to use to do what they want to do. It's not a weapons problem. It's a people problem.
Well, that's for sure true. And of course, we've heard that over and over, and that's the obvious argument. And so I appreciate you reminding us that of that fact, Tony. That, but you know the fact that this crisis happened in an election year, which is not surprising. The fact that it happened in Texas, where there's a avid anti-gun. I guess he's running for governor, Beto O'Rourke, running this year, and this would be an opportune event that would seemingly assist his election. And in the news cycle, that is certainly something that coincidentally happened during a lot of bad press and bad things happening for the world, for the globalists. It just seems to me that that there's a lot of why do people push back about even wanting to know whether or not there's anything to see here? I don't get that. Why don't people just say, listen, let's wait till all the facts get in before we say everything? It's not like the first time that they've lied to us in the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of that is the term called cognitive dissonance. I think along with cognitive dissonance, you have cognitive conditioning, where people are conditioned by the media and the way they respond and the way they're allowed to respond to what the norms and acceptable norms are. And everyone is so worried now about being, I'm going to say the words, politically correct, socially correct. They're so worried about what's being said that free speech is in real danger. And in the process, we've got to be not afraid to call out what is not the norm for us or not an American value, and say, this is not who we are, what we want to be. So what you're talking about is it's a process of training the American public to not respond to certain things, just like they do in China, like they do in Ukraine, like they do in other socialist and communist countries. They're conditioned to do this. So this is nothing new. It's just we're one of the last ones in the playbook they're trying to take control of.
Well, that's great. That's a great, great response, Tony. That that we've been looking a lot at those studies that say they bring this they've been doing this for a long time. I can't remember the name of the study, but they'll bring these four folks in, and they'll show them lines. Of course, they're like five folks in that four of them are all part of the deal. That they all know that basically that there's this experiment going on with this fifth person. This fifth person comes in, and that they all agree that the lines are like the different sizes. That there's obviously one line that is, there's like five lines in a row, and there's one line that's taller than the other, or one shorter than the other. And they're asked the question, the little group is, which one's taller? And they all kind of like play along for a little bit. But then all of a sudden that they will, one of them, the group will say that, an obvious error where, the line is shorter than the tallest line out there. And then the fifth person is left with the question, should they agree or should they not agree? And that there's a social conditioning and a social acceptance sort of phenomena that occurs where people don't want to be, like you said, be called a tinfoil hat, a crazy, a radical, somebody outside the norm. Radical just means, it's radical. What is the definite? That'd be good to know what a radical is. Radical is, let's just do that, the definition before I radicals is defined as relating to or advocating fundamental or revolutionary changes in current practices, conditions, or institution. And so that's exactly what's going on, is a radical departure from what the norm is, that that people don't like radicals. They want to stay, you know, that's why we're conservatives, you know, that we want to stay, we want to conserve the past, go along, you know, things that have worked in the past and not have radical changes. That's why they call us conservatives, and that the radicals are like the Antifas and the Black Lives Matters and those guys. They want to change everything. They want a new, just like these new world order, they're radicals. And so that what happens is that they try to implement this conditioning, like Tony was saying, that we conform to whatever they say. So listen to CNBC, CBS, ABC, whatever they're pushing, you go ahead and buy and everything will be okay. But if you don't, if you go against the narrative at all, and what happens, it's not just the leftist or the people watching these radical news things, which some of them are not that radical. They're just like people that don't get it. They just allow themselves to get brainwashed, that they get conformed to the image of those folks and the thoughts of those folks that they want to be. They will say the line is short when it's really tall. You know, they will, there's this one study where they every time this, the test group would be like four people in a doctor's office. And every time a bell rang, they stood up, and this new person comes in and they're saying, these guys are crazy. You know, every time a bell rings, they stand up. But that what was happening is that these people were set up to be in that room to condition this fifth person. And of course, before long, this person would just stand up every time they heard the bell ring. A conditioned response. That sounds a lot like what's going on, Tony.
Exactly. Remember the way you train a chicken to play a piano?
I think I missed that one.
Remember how you take a chicken and you put him in a cage on a with a metal grid below, and you shock the chicken so he jumps. We know they get shocked. And then you put a piano in the room, and you put feed, a dispenser. Every time he goes closer to the piano, you give him a little bit of food. Every time he does it, you shock him. Every time he touches the key, you give him a little more food. Every time he doesn't do that, you shock him. After about, I think it's five days, is annoying. All of a sudden, he knows right away, to get food, I got to touch that key. And if I don't touch that key, I'm going to get shocked. So you wind up with a very overweight chicken that can play a piano. sound like the American public?
Yeah, sounds like this. No, that's a good. What do you think about that, Freddie? That are people getting conditioned with? I mean, do you see any difference in anybody are you able to step outside of some of what's going on and saying, why do people believe some of the stuff they do unconditionally? Do you see any of that in your sphere of influence?
I do, and it usually comes down to what side you stand with. I've learned a long time ago that people who want to lean, who say they stand with the right, don't want to listen to the left, and people who stand with the left don't want to listen to the right. We all just want to believe, at least in my opinion, my circle, they don't want to listen either way, and they just want to listen to what their own people say. And they don't want to try to learn from everybody and try to learn the truth overall.
Well, and I get that, but what about you know, you're a Christian. You've shared your testimony, I think, on here before. That don't you see Christians like us lots of times falling in line with whatever the norm is? I mean, whatever the legacy media is pushing, that they seem to be just agreeing. Don't you see that quite a bit?
Oh, I see that more and more every day. My fellow Christians and my fellow believers, they don't. Unfortunately, they get, I don't know if it's just getting tired of getting beat down from being told they're wrong or what, but yeah, unfortunately, more and more every day, I see more and more of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ just going along with what they're told to go along with instead of fighting back and standing up for Jesus, because it's just, it's too hard for them, and it's sad.
So that's a big deal what's going on right now. We see that everywhere, and that's part of the, there's been a lot of, we've talked about that over and over as far as the type of manipulation that's out there. Getting people to conform, having the, you know, you can get the hive mentality, that, you know, the mass formation without getting graphene oxide under your skin with the jab, and then having that self-assimilate and then have a giant, you know, main computer functioning. It can just happen through manipulation. They've been doing it, and everybody knows it, that there's been this brainwashing sort of thing happening. Ever, you know, the Disney You go on to the YouTube and just pull up Disney and mind manipulation and things of that nature, all these crazy sexual sort of things that they stick into the kid's mind, the grooming, you know, that they do at a young age. It makes a big difference. I saw yesterday on one of the podcasts how that in Florida that, you know, that they're going to the schools, the grade schools even, and they're you know, what the podcaster was saying was that they had this this information from a whistleblower, a leaker, because, you know, they're doing these Zoom podcasts now in grade schools, where the CRT is being taught. Of course, we know that's being taught in lots of places, school districts and things of that nature, you know, concerning math classes. And, you know, so we know that they're being taught in, like, literature, have been for decades. We know that it's being taught in, you know, the critical race theory, you know, hate white folks, you know, hate, you know, critical theory means criticizing the whatever you want to destroy. Deconstructionism is what it is. It's deconstructing the foundation of what we believe in as Judeo-Christian society. That's what communists, that's what... That's what the plan is. That's what the communist and the world leaders want to do. They want to break us away from God, break us away from our Christian and Judeo-Christian foundations. And what they do is they sexualize, they groom our children, because just like Balaam and Balak, that in the Bible, in the Book of Numbers, that if you can't beat them on the basis that God won't bless them, that you can beat them on getting the children of Israel back in the day to sin so that God couldn't bless them. And so separating us from our God through critical race theory, hating others because of their skin color, namely white people because that they're white, that sort of racism is something they've been doing for a long time. But now they're doing it in the math classes. Just how you do it in math classes, it's crazy that they actually... do like the you know the word solution problems, and they put in, you know, just their social construct that they want to put in there. And that's the kind of conformity, that's the kind of brainwash that goes almost undetected, and that they're doing it at a young age, but they do it all the way through adults, through the TV, through every sort of media that you can possibly imagine. It's really mind-blowing, Tony.
Well, in Great Britain right now, Great Britain and England, there's three universities and schools that are starting to teach. They show a picture of a man and a woman and a baby, right, being born, and they said it's a natural families. Then they show the man and the man, a woman and a woman. Then it shows a man and a man with a pregnant man. So now they're moving the narrative over to when men can now have babies. And you mentioned something a moment ago about when a bell went off, everyone stood up. Well, we all remember the story of Pavlov's dog, right? You remember what that's about? Every time a bell sounded, after a few conditioning episodes, the dog would automatically salivate, whether there was food presented or not. Well, there's also studies that show, I'm looking at one right now, it's called The Social Construct of Color Conditioning to Society. And you just talked about it a minute ago. They know what will happen if you do certain things over and over and over. People get conditioned to respond. So they know that if they put yellow and blue together and they use it in Ukraine, and then they come over here and they're using yellow and blue and they've got a favorable response, yellow and blue is good here. They know that red and blue are the colors of our Democratic and Republican parties. They know if they do certain color schemes inside that, people respond more favorably or not so favorably. They're trying to Pavlov dog us into being obedient little robots. And we got to understand, this is not something that's pretend. This is all time tested. It's just like when you said they all stand up when the bell rings. That you had nine people in a room, and I'm telling you, the wall is white, and they're all saying it's green, and after about 200 times of me feeling stupid, okay, the wall is white. What's the matter? I'm going to be out of here in an hour. But we don't realize we're giving in to a theme designed to take away our thought process and our ability to think as rational people. And that's the biggest thing they're trying to hit. They just said in Canada, they have to figure out how to redo the free speech. We need to recontrol free speech. How do you control free speech? Free speech is free speech. It's either free or it's not. So they're planning their agendas very well, and we're just watching what's happening on the outskirts as this machine. See, we're worried about how to stop the train, or we got to worry about how to derail the train, blow the tracks up. We can't worry about the train leaving the building and being on its way. We have to worry about there can't be a way that train can complete its course.
Well, you know what's strange is this, is that, you know, I put on the DuckDuckGo, you know, false flag, Texas shooting or something like that. And every one of the articles is no, fact check. whenever you get a fact check and they say no, Uvalde's school shooting wasn't a false flag. No. It's only been 24 or 48 hours since the thing. How in the world do they know? I mean, that's all I'm saying. And, of course, there's huge criticism against Alex Jones. Apparently, he said something that said, you know, basically what we just said today, you know, the timing issue looks kind of weird. You know, it looks weird that he had $3,500 and he worked at a fast food drive-in or something like that. Go ahead, Tony. I got to take a phone call real quick. Go ahead and take it.
What you're talking about is, whether or not something's true does not matter to the controlling power of our government. Their goal is to control the narrative to keep themselves being reelected, to keep themselves in the positions they're in, and to get us to do what we need to do daily to keep the economy going for them. They're not looking at they serve us. They're not looking at we elected them. They look like they've been appointed now, and now they need to tell us what to do. So this whole narrative process with the fact check, if you Google something and my rule of thumb is if I Google something or DuckDuckGo it and it comes up fact check, fact check, fact check, I'll scan down about 10, 15 items and normally the amount of fact checks will drop off dramatically and then the true items start to show up. And now you've got the process. The rule is when something comes out that is true or has some validity, it is normally highly opposed. Then it is challenged by the media. Then it is either debunked, or it becomes somewhat accepted. After that, it becomes accepted by the stance of fact. It cannot be disproven anymore. So we've seen that happen over and over. Things we're talking about right now in 2020 were totally conspiracy theology, crazy, off-the-wall concepts. But now they've been accepted as norms based upon time passing, just like with Jesus and the gospel. The gospel has stood the chance of time, the test of time. It's never been, the more they try to disprove it, the more validity it comes up with. They found the cities, they found the buildings, they found all the proof they need to show us that all things seem to the gospel. We're having the same thing play out today, and it's biblical. The Lord said in the last days there'll be a great increase of knowledge. There'll be a pouring out of His Spirit onto all flesh. That there'll be a great deluge of common sense, and we're fighting that right now. People are having two categories now. You're either on the very far one side or on the very far other side. There's not as many hanging out in the middle anymore. I'm kind of in the middle. We're very conservative, but I look at fact. I look at, does this have fact? Does this story have validity? Who wrote it? Where is it from? And then also, where is the money coming from that's paying for this? And when I go down that approach, I normally find out real quick, where it's coming from. And today, you got to do your research. You got to understand the information you're being fed is designed to make you stand up in the room when the bell goes off and say, yes, I agree, Sieg Heil. And that's a hard thing to understand, but it's the truth. What do you think?
Steve's still gone, but I'll answer for you. I agree with you. I think people don't want to actually pay attention sometimes. I think they don't want to look at the truth. Sometimes it's too hard. Sometimes they just, like I said earlier, it all depends, and they don't want to listen depending on where it comes from. You know, everyone can speak the truth, regardless of where you are politically or non-politically or religiously, and not want to listen to people just because they're different than you, in my opinion, is not helpful for anybody.
Yeah, there was a Christian story written a while ago, and it was a story of the devil was talking to his minions, and they were talking about, man, there's so much happening for good. What do we do? How do we win this? And the devil said, we don't have to worry about winning it. All we have to worry about is staying the course. So the minions said, what do we do? He said, all we have to do is keep the people so busy they can't see what's going on. Get them to go to church, but we go to church too. We control the narrative in the church, so to speak, where we can. We get them so worried about the things that aren't important that becomes the primary focus of their lives, their vacations, the size house they live in, what car they drive. All these things become the focus points. And I'm not saying those are bad, but that's what they're using to get us to not look at what's happening. And the theme of the story was, as long as we can do this, we get to hang around a lot longer. And people are missing the point right now that we've got some real biblical signs showing up right now where it's saying that God and Jesus said these things will happen as we get close to this point in time. Now, how close we are, we don't know, because it says no man know the hour for the time. But I'm pretty sure if I'm looking out my window and I see smoke in the distance, and I look on the news, there's a fire 100 miles away. That's not a big danger to me right now. But if I look out the window tomorrow morning and the smoke's closer and the news is saying the fire's coming towards me, at some point I got to pay attention to the fire, right? And that's how we as Christians need to understand that's the place we're in right now. There's a lot of smoke out there, and it's going in different directions. And they're trying to look at the ones that are going away from us, not the ones that are coming towards us. And I'm not saying that to get anyone worried or afraid. It's just you got to understand the times that we're in are being biblically played out. You got the Pope doing things that he never would do before. You got the Catholic Church coming out for and against abortion. You got a lot of things happening that show you that biblically we're in a time we've never been in before. And that time is getting slowly worse. And in that, we've got responsibilities to share and tell everyone, hey, not real sure I'm 100% right, but I'm pretty sure the Bible says this right here in Revelations, and this just happened here in America and in China or wherever, and it looks like one of these signs is kind of starting to play out. Maybe we should do some research and see what else we find out. You don't hear a lot of people teaching that in the church right now. You hear them teaching, come to church, pay your tithe, be a good Christian. Everything's going to be okay. God's in complete control. And I believe God's in control. I don't believe God's controlling. I believe God wants us to participate because of what happened in the garden, the fall of mankind in the garden. The pleasure of God in us is that what the enemy planned for evil, God uses to defeat the enemy for good through us. But we're being taught that we're not supposed to do much. That's kind of a worry thing for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was thinking when you were talking about that, it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, that's what happened with the Pharisees back in Jesus' time. The Pharisees wanted to tell the Jewish people, no, that is, the Messiah is right in front of you. We all know that now. But the Pharisees back in the day, they're like, no, that's not the Messiah. That's just a man. And this is our Savior. This is the guy who's going to save us all from our sins and send us into heaven. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because that's what I was thinking. Like that, yeah, that sounds familiar. Those are the stories from back when the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that. And it's sad that 2,000 some odd years later, it's still going on.
And remember the stories that they got upset about. They didn't get upset that Jesus was Jesus. They got upset that Jesus was challenging their control and manipulation of the people for money and for gain, rather than for salvation. They were more controlled about losing their income. Like, remember the one story when Jesus healed the woman, and she was healed, she was a prostitute, and she was healed, and they were upset because they lost their income. They lost the money that she was earning, she no longer made. Now, rather than saying, man, praise the Lord, she's no longer a prostitute, she's saved, they were mad because she wasn't going to make money for them. They got mad when Jesus went in and turned the tables over because he's saying, you guys are buying and selling in my Father's house. That's sacrilege. But you look around the churches today, what goes on, and I'm not saying that's bad or good. That's for God. But the warnings are all out there. That's, you know, what he'd like us to do, how he'd like us to act. And the Pharisees were really worried about losing their position. Their position meant everything to them. They weren't worried about the Messiah coming to save them. They were worried about losing their control and money.
Very true. Very, I agree with you. Yeah, it was. It's human nature, unfortunately. You know, the root of all evil could be money, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good, and it's only going to get worse. And you know, you are correct. It's sad.
Well, remember the rich young ruler. Remember, God told Abraham to take his son up on top of the mountain. Now, and it's funny because there's no scripture that says Abraham talked to his wife about that. That'd have been a very young. That'd have been a very, very unique conversation, I think.
I don't see it going well for him. If he would have talked to his wife. No, sir.
Wait, you think about it. Wait, hey, honey, I'm gonna take our son up to the mountain. Can you pack a lunch? And she goes, well, there's two of you going. Yeah, but I'm only gonna need one lunch. Well, why is that? Well, I'm gonna sacrifice him on top of the mountain when I get there. God told me to. It's, you know, and then he goes up. But the funny thing is, through the story, his son never had any fear. When his son bound him up, when Abraham bound up his son for the sacrifice, it doesn't say he struggled. It doesn't say he was concerned. It said he had some kind of a weird calmness. And then at the moment of the test, at the moment that he raised the knife, God said, okay, good. I just want to make sure. And I believe what was happening in that moment was God blessed Abraham with the fulfillment of that promise. But I believe God didn't want his son to become more important than his relationship with Abraham. I think God wanted his son to see real clearly how that played out. My number one focus is God. You, son, are right under that, but my focus is God, because God supplied the sacrifice right after that. And it's a very unique story. I mean, I always crack up about that. I've taught a lot of sermons on that. That'd have been a very unique conversation to have that morning, you know?
Amen, amen. We got Steve back, by the way.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I apologize for having to leave. Sometimes that happens in this line of practice. So it's about 1:08. Let me pay a few bills here, and then we'll be right back with some more conversation. Again, this is the Last Days News of Steve Taylor, and that this is being sponsored by the Alliance Legal Group. We have offices in all of the Southside Hampton Road areas, that we have one in Norfolk at the intersection of basically between Norfolk and Virginia Beach and Newtown Road, between that Virginia Beach and Interstate, little section of the road there on Newtown Road. And then, of course, we have our office in Mount Pleasant Road off of in beautiful downtown Great Bridge. Then we also have the office in Portsmouth. That's catty corner from Maryview. And then we have the office over there in Suffolk on downtown Main Street. All of them there to serve you. And, of course, that we are doing a lot of cases all around the not just the South Side, but the peninsula as well, all across Virginia, for that matter, that we can do cases on the Western District as well as the Eastern District. And that's pretty much all of Virginia. And so that is all of Virginia. And so if you have a case that you need some assistance on, especially a bankruptcy case, give us a call. Or better yet, go to www.debtfreeva.com. You'll be introduced to a young chat box person, and that person will set you up an appointment with me. Or actually, if you have a question about this program, you can actually say, I have a question about the Last Days News. And they'll try to put the call directly to me. And if not, then they'll leave me an email, and then we'll call you back. Or, again, if you just need to set up an appointment, you'll always speak to an attorney, that there will be a consultation given to you at absolutely no charge, and that we can usually determine If it's a financial situation requiring a bankruptcy, whether you qualify in, you know, less than 15 minutes, and then go over some of the details of what would be best for you. There's Chapter 7, Chapter 13 for individual consumer debtors like you and I. And again, contact us. That we have some really terrific prices. That we got payment plans. We got meetings done by, like I said, phone or Zoom or whatever works good for you. We even have filings done by phone and by Zoom and by you know, electronic signatures over the email. You know, these sign now documents and DocuSign sort of programs they have, that you can sign all your documents from the comfort of your home or your office, that we can file, that we can even do your hearings by phone, whether it be the 341, the first meeting, or other hearings. They can all be done that way. So give us a call. Better yet, again, go to www.debtfreeva.com, and we'd love to serve you, and we'd love for your support. We're a Christian mission, vision, statement, law practice. And so just contact us and we'll be glad to help you. So with the 18 minutes or so that we have left, I didn't know where we left off with the Abraham Accords or whatever that was that we were talking about at the end there, but that maybe you give me a kind of a segue into where you guys were at so I don't go too far off from that place.
Well, we're kind of talking about where God, what God's doing, understanding how things are happening right now. And I went off on a little story about the Pharisees and how they were afraid to lose power in the time of Jesus. And what we have right now going on, of segueing into when you came back, was the fact that there's a fear in Washington right now. I mean, they got the whole city locked down. They got barricades around the Capitol. They're afraid that they're going to lose power and freedom is going to win. And now that may or may not happen. That's up to God. But that's their fear right now, I believe.
Well, you know, that's true. It's not just this country, you know, that fears they're going to lose their right to rule. That, you know, that there was this good video that we that I was looking at this morning about how Klaus Schwab, you know, in the WEF meeting they're having in Davos, was one of the nations, you know, who were tempted to preserve their own sovereignty over the global agenda. You know, that he basically was warning them that, you know, saying that, you know, a lot of what they do is threats and warnings and having people join them because they don't want these people, nation states, don't want to be on the wrong side. They want to be a stakeholder. Klaus Schwab, for instance, was stating at the annual Davos meeting, the future is built by us. You know, it's like Harari was saying, there is no way that you'll have any free will down the road. And that, you know, that they assert that, you know, this global energy crisis is a transition and that it will be painful for most, but it should not be opposed, you know, by anybody that's enticed to maintain their own sovereign power over the global agenda. You know, these are tacit threats by the globalists to countries like the United States. You know, get out of our way. Either get on board or be destroyed. You know, and so, you know, that's kind of the same thing, that, you know, that they're using intimidation factors so that basically people fall in line. So what do you think about that?
Can you hear me? Think what they're talking about? They're talking about the fact that they're trying to condition us that this is really happening. And if you want to take an interesting journey, just go to DuckDuckGo or Dogpile, and don't use Google, but DuckDuckGo. I like Dogpile now because it's an old search engine. And it doesn't have a whole lot of restriction on it because the big boys don't play with it too much. So it gives you good information. But you go back, how much reserve oil is under American soil? You'll be amazed at the number. So that means how much oil do we have not pumped yet that we know about? Well, that takes us into 100-something years of oil. Then you look at their crazy narrative about everything else going on with the global warming. Well, they got a problem now. The ice in the North Pole is increasing, not decreasing. That just came out on a couple of surveys, like stories that came out. No one's publicizing that, but it's well documented. So what they're looking at is a cyclic event. Going back and doing it always is done. They can't use it. So the process they're trying to get us to do is buy in. If we started pumping oil tomorrow, 6 months from now, we'd have no oil problem in America. If we started planting food today, 6 to 8 months down the road, we would have food coming in greater number. They just had a crazy train wreck in Canada, and it's funny, the train that wrecked, derailed, almost every car on the train was hauling fertilizer. It was a tanker train. They lost all of it. So we have one spot in Canada very well fertilized by the side of the train track, but the train derailed. I find that odd, too.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, that just kind of pivoting back on, again, the segue that you gave us, that, you know, how America doesn't want to lose control, you know, not America, but that the leader, the people that are, you know, the people that have done the coup d'etat don't want to lose control. And, you know, again, we were segueing into, you know, that's a really not a, the people that don't want to lose control in America, the people that did the coup d'etat are the same people that are meeting for the most part in the WEF. You know, we see these senators and House Republicans and governors and mayors, all the United States attending these things because that, you know, that they don't want to be left out of the table. They want to be one of the stakeholders. And, you know, this thing is scary that's happening. You know, between the 22nd and the 27th, they're meeting the WHA, but they're also meeting in Davos, the World Economic Forum. It's happening right under our eyes, and that's the whole reason that we were talking about, you know, it's kind of strange that, you know, none of this information is really making the mainstream media, but these guys are traitors. These guys coming to these meetings are anti-sovereignty folks concerning America. You know, let me just tell you a couple of the things that they're saying, you know, a couple of snippets. You can look at it yourself. Actually, just go to, I'm going to censor.news, but these are some of the snippets that are coming in from some of the speeches of some of these globalists. And so that the, let me just reel off a couple of them. So, you know, Schwab, you know, the WEF founder, globalist wacko, assembles what he calls a powerful community. He says, we have the means, you know, he has this crazy German accent, to improve the state of the world, but two conditions are necessary. First, that we all act as stakeholders of the larger communities. And that's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, we collaborate. He says that we meet and we agree as, you know, I'm paraphrasing, as this world community, so that we can determine how nation states should be run. German Vice Chancellor Habeck spoke on the energy problem, but he says the government should not try to preserve their own citizens, but accept the rule of the markets. You know, they're controlling the markets. They're the ones that have jacked this prices up, you know, through their, not just the war, but their, you know, the supply chain shortages. There's this other guy, this Habeck, says countries should resist temptation, you know, cease and desist, to look after their own interests first. Don't be America first, he's saying. That's why they hated Trump. He had sustainability requires change of the rule of markets. He's saying that don't try to fix things, just let it happen. You know, give up, surrender. Just like that one Musk, you know, what will it take you to capitulate or whatever it was? What was that lady's name, the Musk girlfriend?
Grimes.
What was their song? What will it take you to surrender? What will it take you to capitulate?
We enjoy power.
Yeah, that's what they want. It's all about power. And so the Norwegian finance CEO referred to the global energy crisis as a transition, conceding that there will be widespread scarcity and economic suffering, but maintaining that the pain will be worth it. The pain they're putting us through, she says, in her opinion, will be worth it. And it's worth noting that the Davos elite use the same exact phrase as Joe Biden on the same day. They all got the same talking points. Joe Biden said, when it comes to gas prices, talking about the transition, we're going through an incredible transition. This is all planned. It's not, you know, this is not something, oh, geez, you know, that some reason, you know, a war in Ukraine, all of a sudden the gas prices went up. This incredible transition, what Comrade Joe said, is the same thing that the Sweden lady said. You know, it's all worth it. It's, you know, that they're all saying that, you know, electric cars are going to be worth it. We just got to get rid of fossil fuel. Don't let them fool you that they're doing this. That the another one, Alibaba, you know, he was one of the stakeholders that are going to, Michael Evans is the, he says that it's all about the development of an individual carbon footprint tracker to monitor what you buy, what you eat, and where you travel. We talked about that, I think, this morning or yesterday about the footprint, carbon footprint, didn't we, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
their favorite
about.
Term is net zero.
Yeah, they want you to be net zero.
Yeah, but see, net zero can't exist.
Yeah, but they want you to be net zero. The WEF panel on reimagined global tax systems, they say call for a 25% global corporate tax rates, and that, you know, so that everybody just on top of all the other taxes get a 25% tax upon them. And then the Australian, we know about Australia, I mean, during this thing, tells the WEF, we need a recalibration of freedom of speech. What does that say to you? Recalibration of freedom of speech.
Control.
Yeah, more censorship. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, it's control. And one thing you have to realize is they use catchphrases, and the catchphrases that you got to watch out for are the ones that make no sense. You can't have carbon net zero. Impossible. Plants put off carbon. A bird flying and passing gas puts off a carbon footprint. You getting up and moving around puts off a carbon footprint. Processed by green tree and plants. That's why there's such a push to depopulate the Amazon and all the jungle areas so fast, because it takes away the ability of nature to correct itself. So now they can come up with corrections and they can have more control. But the whole carbon zero, carbon net zero process is like trying to say, I want to control rain. You know, I want it to stop raining. I want to have all the water in the world evaporate. It's impossible.
Well, you know, talking about control, again, this Great Reset is real. That's really, again, they don't want to waste this crisis that they've created, this opportunity, like Klaus Schwab said, to implement this world order change, the one world order that we've seen and heard and talked about from a Christian perspective for a long time. That's part of the whole cryptocurrency thing. You know, that once they, and they want to do this within 5 years, much, much sooner in many countries. That's Biden, you know, he implemented the task force within 6 months to determine the federal, you know, Bitcoin alternative, that he's going to do everything. That we saw this, what happened to that one, the Indian nation, I don't think it was India, but, you know, that one night they went from regular hard currency that your cash was no longer good, that big bills were no longer good. They made them illegal, and it was all to control people, because that, you know, once all your money is on cryptocurrency, there's no longer this dollar bill that says, you know, payable to the bearer. It's no longer even like a credit card that says that you get a credit that you need to pay back. It's not about bargaining and exchange. It's like all your money's on this cell phone, or, you know, maybe even in your body if it's in one of these 666 MasterCard, Bill Gates sort of patent sort of technologies. But that all your information, all your cash, all your whatever is converted into a bunch of little numbers, that if they decide that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, they can just cut it off. It's all about control. That's where we're going on this, folks, within a very short period of time. The world that you know now is getting ready to change. It's in the process right now. And if you don't realize it, that you're missing it. If there's any time for America or this world to wake up, it's right now, because if we don't, I'm telling you that we are well, like I said, in the process of the Great Reset being happening. They're talking about it. They're putting their clamps on, and that's what they're discussing, these things. And the reason they're doing it now is they don't want to lose their control. They want to seize the opportunity.
India, Steve, I sent you the article, and it's unique. The article is unique. What they did was they banned all large notes in India overnight. Mm-hmm. And they recreated digital notes. They wiped out 80% of their cash, lost all value overnight. The government now had something happen unique. They just had 86% of the cash in the country become digital and available to them. So if you were a bad person in India, guess what you didn't get?
Right, you don't
cash,
get the money.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the Klaus Schwab, Great Reset, WEF, all those, you know, their slogans, I think they're probably most famous for is, you know, you will own nothing, right? Of course, to be happy. But what they're not telling you is, if you own nothing, who owns the stuff you used to have? And it's them.
Amen.
That's you own nothing, but the stuff's still there. Who owns it?
Don't worry, we'll take care of it. Don't worry, we'll take care of it for you.
You own nothing. We'll happy. With it. But who owns it? Well, yeah, that's us. You know, that's why all these globalists have gotten rich. I mean, billionaires became multi-billionaires. You know, that they had crazy amounts of increases as far as all those people got richer because that's the plan. You know, that these globalists, these cabalists, these bankers in high places, these pharma, big pharma folks that are, you know, these just crazies that the using this pharmacia, this delusionary medical tyranny to impose the rule is just crazy. Now, I know we're running close to the 29. Now, what time do you have?
We got just less than 2 minutes now.
What time do you have, Freddie?
It is 1:27:20.
1:27:20. So we got 1 minute to go. Before it's all over. So we're going to start landing this plane. Tony, last word before we start closing up.
Well, keep tuned in, folks. Pay attention to what's happening. And remember, if someone you don't like is supporting it, you don't want to do it.
That's the way you know stuff. Freddie, last word before I close up with a prayer.
Just my heart goes out to the people that happened in Texas. That's for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good, Freddie. God, let's go to the Lord. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We do pray for these folks, these families, these
yes,
folks that just have been brutally killed and harmed by evil. And so we just pray for them today that they not be politicized, that they would be helped. And, Lord, that you would just help us as a nation and as a world to wake up. And so, Father, we love you. We praise you. I pray for that person that's hasn't accepted your Son as Savior, that they would recognize that today is the day of salvation. And so, Father, we love you and praise you. And for everybody else, we'll see you, Lord willing, after Memorial Day on Tuesday. Until then, praise God, and we'll talk to you later.
God bless. Take care.
All right. Take care.
You have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads' hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on The Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.